Good morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us, Lord. We thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. Thank you for Christ. Lord, we just ask you to help us to draw near to him. Lord, fill us with your spirit. Give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. Again, we just thank you. Lord, again, we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Just greet everyone in Jesus' name this morning. It's a blessing to be here with you all. Let's open our Bibles to Micah chapter 6. Start reading in verse 6. How shall I come to understand the Lord and devote myself to the Most High God? Shall I reach him with burnt offerings, with year-old calves? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with a myriad of streams of oil? Should I give my firstborn for my ungodliness, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good, or what does the Lord seek from you, but to do justly and to love mercy and to be ready to walk with the Lord your God. I want to just kind of keep that in focus here this morning. You know, he asked the question several times of what he could give to please the Lord. And I think a lot of times we have that mentality that we need something that if we could just buy God off or pay him off with some special something, we have that thought that if I could just give something away or just sacrifice something, then I'd be acceptable to the Lord. And the song we just sang, talking about what Jesus went through, you know, that's already been done. He did that for us. And now, what does the Lord require of us? It says, O man, what is good, or what does the Lord seek from you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to be ready to walk with the Lord your God. It's just that simple. That's all he wants from us. To do justly. To love mercy. And to be ready to walk with our God. You know, I think there's some things. I just had a couple or maybe more. But just been thinking about a couple of things that really are hindrances to following the Lord. They just turn out to be hindrances. You know, one of them is that thought, or what can I do to impress God, or what can I do to be acceptable to God? I think we have that, and people trying to keep rules or keep laws or to try to do all kinds of things, and there's all kinds of religion that does that, that tries that. And then there's another thing that I've just been thinking about. You know, people hate what they see in society today. And I think Christianity is probably as much to blame for what's going on today as anything. You know, whenever we take something out of Christianity, or we take the idea of not being walking justly and loving mercy and walking with our God out of Christianity, then it's a mere shell of what it's supposed to be. It's just completely phony. And, you know, there's a lot of people that in times past, I mean, I think we're almost past that anymore, but several years ago, you know, there's a lot of talk of Christianity and evangelizing everyone and sharing the gospel with everyone. And this gospel was basically that you can't do a thing. Jesus will just take you as you are, and you just resolve yourself to be just exactly what you are and no more, and everything will be fine. That's never what God wants for us. He wants us to walk justly, to live justly in this world. And whenever you take that out of Christianity, you don't have Christianity. You've just got a fake substitute that has been spread all over the world, and it's just completely poisoned the idea of Christianity. Because it is, Christianity is being a little Christ on this earth. You know, the first idea of sacrificing something. You have people that are just trying to be pleasing to God, and so they'll do anything. They'll sacrifice anything. And there's people all over the world that will give everything they have to please their God. You know, we think it's just associated with Christianity, but there's people in religions that do things that are unthinkable almost to punish themselves so that they'll be acceptable by their God. And the reaction to that has been, there's nothing you can do. Just believe Jesus died for you. And that's it. And I think that's one of the things that have done more damage, that have set the stage for now. It doesn't matter what group you want to talk about, how vile, how wicked they live, they all can point back to being a Christian even. I mean, I've heard it from the vilest of lifestyles, but they always reflect back to that they are Christian too, because we're all just the same, and that's the heart of that comes from this false idea. Or what does the Lord seek from you but to do justly? You know, I want to point out, you know, a lot of times we think about justice, and we have our own sense of justice. And I think another thing that is a big problem is our own wisdom or our own sense of justice. Things that make sense to us. You know, it's pretty easy to look in the world today and just have our senses of right and wrong and justice offended all around us. I mean, we can look at the world and we can just see things, you know, common sense things. People are just doing things and it doesn't have any common sense to it at all. And it shocks us almost. We can hardly even fathom why people can do the way they do. I think one of the things that becomes a hindrance to our walk with God is our sense of justice and our sense of just having common sense. It's what we need. We need it. But a lot of times we stop there. And we can then just see things that are wrong and just kind of leave it at that. This first thing that he says is to walk justly. To walk justly. And a lot of times whenever we begin to walk justly, one of the first things we do is begin to examine ourselves with everybody else and see how far off they are, because we are walking justly. So something has to come along with that. This verse, walk justly and to love mercy. And to love mercy. They've got to be tempered together. You know, like I said, we kind of pride ourselves in being thoughtful or being thinkers. And you know, not just taking things as they come, but actually looking and examining things. We take a lot of pride in that, I think, which is all right. We should. That's the way we should look at things. But a lot of times, our sense of justice is projected on other people instead of keeping it right where it should be on ourselves. To love justice, to live justly, to live right. And that, you know, and that idea of justice, that we want justice in the world. You know, whenever we start thinking that we ought to be able to make everything be just right and everything to be just, that skews what we really are. That really sets us apart from what God would want from us. We would love to see a world where everybody did right and everyone, but whenever we look out in the world and we expect justice from everybody else, what happens whenever somebody doesn't treat us right? We're offended. And we think they didn't do right. You know, justice has to be balanced with mercy. You know, a few years ago I had a message that was called The Wrong Way, The Right Way, and The Cross Way. The right way. We know the wrong way. And then there's a right way where things are just right. Things are just. You know, it's just, they're just right the way they ought to be. And that's not the right way, because things aren't like that in the world. Our responsibility is to be just ourselves, to treat others how we would want them to be treated, but not to expect to be treated the same way. See, that's where mercy comes in. That's why when Jesus taught us to turn the other cheek, it doesn't make sense, does it? In the natural sense, in the justice sense, it just doesn't make sense. Our idea is, I need revenge. I need to make things straight. I need to fix things. That's justice. And that's where our justice goes a lot of times, is, you know, they did me wrong, so I have every right to do whatever I need to fix that. That's maybe a right way, but it's not the cross way. It's not the way of the cross. Whenever we follow the Lord, we've chosen. We want to live justly. The balance of living justly is to love mercy, to be merciful. Because everybody's not going to live up to what I expect or what you expect of everyone else around you. They're just not going to do it. And so we could be just and we could be right to demand people live a certain way, but that's not how you walk with the Lord. That's not how He walked when He was here. You know, we sang that song, and the things that He went through, the suffering that He went through, that it was wrong. You know, and our sense of justice cries out, why are they doing this? How can anybody even do this? And you know what He did? He said, Father, forgive them. He lived justly. But He didn't demand that same justice from everyone else. He was full of mercy and full of love. And that's what He wants from us. So not only does the different ideas of Christianity pollute Christianity? A lot of times justice pollutes it. A lot of times our own justice. You know, whenever we get to thinking that somebody owes us something, or somebody should have done something, or somebody should have done this, or somebody should have done that, and they don't do it, and we get all upset about it, we've forgotten mercy. We've thought too high of ourselves. You know, our God's claim on our lives is for us to live just and to be full of mercy and not project our idea of justice on somebody else. What would the world be like? What would we, I mean, if we were all just robots, we've talked about that before, and everybody just acted the way I wanted them to, the will would be gone. We'd never have any opportunity to be any better. People, when people fail us, when people don't do us right, or they don't respect us, or they don't treat us the way we ought to, our sense of justice is offended, and we have to try to fix it. We're on the wrong path. What does the Lord require of you? That's the way it says it in the King James. But to love mercy, or to do justice, and to love mercy, and walk humbly with the Lord thy God. This is the path. We got to have that wisdom. We got to have that common sense to be able to see that there's a need to discern that. But wisdom coupled with the common sense of right and wrong and justice, wisdom coupled with that is loaded down with mercy. You know, I think it talks about elders and in the church and being leaders in the church. And I think one of the reasons of that is because as a young man, and I was the same, I had this sense of justice, and I wanted justice taken care of. I wanted the bar lifted. And anybody that didn't measure that, they just aren't there. And as I've grown older and seen that there's a way that all has to work together, justice and mercy. You know, a lot of times we see whenever we're starting to follow the Lord and we see the decay around us and we want to lift things back up. So we set this high bar of justice instead of just being that high bar of justice. And included in that being in that high jar of justice is mercy. It goes hand in hand. You take that out of that, you don't even have God. Because He is mercy. He is grace. One of the other things, Toby touched on it just a little in his thought about, Paul talked about that he has not reached that perfection that he's seeking after, but he dies daily to seek after. I think one of the things that hinder Christianity is that when you get saved or you decide to follow Jesus, God just fixes everything. You know, we read these articles or we read these stories in the Bible about these men that were blind and men that were crippled, men that were even dead. And boy, it just, boom, a miracle. They got their sight back. They started walking again. They rose from the dead. And so the concept is, or the thought is, that whenever Jesus comes into my life, boom, I'm going to see, I'm going to run, I'm going to live. Everything's just going to be great. And it'll all, one miracle will just take care of everything. And so we spend our lives looking and waiting for that miracle to come along and fix us. You know, that's one of the things that was so disturbing to me whenever I was young is I wanted to be saved. And I was just waiting for this experience to tell me that I was saved. What does the Lord require? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Doesn't say anything about having a big miracle take place in your life where He fixes everything all at once. You know, whenever we fail and get up again, and fail and get up again, and fail and get up again, sometimes that's just how we walk. That's just how we walk. You know, some baby that is walking across the floor and he falls down, he gets back and he falls down. That's part of his walk. You know, we don't like it when we fail and we think, what's the use? I failed. But the heart behind that is thinking that we were going to be fixed. The way we get fixed is to walk with God, to do justly, to love mercy, and walk with God. The thought that God's just going to heal me of all my problems and all my weaknesses. Paul talked about that too. He asked, and God said, I'm not going to take this thorn in the flesh away. And I think a thorn in the flesh wasn't just someone that bothered him. I think it was probably a weakness that he hated in his life. And he wanted God to remove it so he could be holier. So he could be perfect. And God left that there and tried to tell him how to live with his problem instead of looking for a miracle just taking his problem away. You know, instead of being disappointed at God or mad at God because he didn't take our problems away, learn to walk with God in our problems. Learn to live with who we are. Learn to live instead of waiting for Him just to save us. Learn to live and walk with God right where we are. Like I said, there's two or three things that are hindrances to our walk with God, to our real desire to be a disciple, a real desire to be the light of the world. You know, our false sense of our own judgment or our own wisdom gets in the way. It's needed, but it's got to be used with mercy. And then the thought that I haven't obtained, or some people get the idea they have, and that's a big problem too. But most that are serious and look at themselves honestly have more the concept of, why hasn't God really changed this area of my life or done something for me or set me free in this area? And the way to find that is by faith. Not for a miracle, but by faith to get up every day and learn to live, learn to recognize this thing that I fight with, to avoid it, learn the things that feed it, learn the things that starve it. You know, it's pretty easy to think, well, if I don't look at this or don't look at that or don't think, it goes deeper than that even. In our own minds, we have this, oh, I wish God would just fix this. I wish God would just fix this. We're feeding the problem getting worse. Instead of, Lord, Help me love justice. Help me love mercy. And help me walk with you every day. We want our salvation to be sealed up and handed to us on a silver platter. And Jesus is telling us it's a way of life. It's a walk that you proceed by walking and living, not by just waiting for an elevator to come along and just scoop you up and haul you right in. Hey Lord, help us to be faithful, to walk with you, to live justly, love mercy, and to humbly walk with our God. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Y'all. Part in peace. We'll meet back at 6 o'clock, Lord willing.